listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
One time or another, we have all experienced a powerful emotion of awe and have felt the quieting of our monkey mind as it creates a physiological coherence that calms our nervous system. Awe gives us a break from judging and processing unwanted events and gives us a capacity to see through them, to see a larger picture. Our guests today tell us that we don't have to travel to the Grand Canyon or overlook Niagara Falls in order to experience awe. It's available to us in our everyday life, and we can tap into it with something called the awe method that only takes 5 to 15 seconds. And this method has a cumulative effect. The more we do it, the more it changes the pathways in our brain synapses. This method of accessing awe was devised by therapist Jake Eagle and physician Dr. Michael Amster. It's easy, it's accessible, and proven scientifically to work, and they will be our guests today. They are the co-authors of The Power of Awe, Overcome Burnout and Anxiety, Ease Chronic Pain, Find Clarity and Purpose in Less Than 1 Minute Per Day. So please join us for the next hour as we explore the emotion of awe and how we can receive its powerful benefits in our everyday life with our guests, Jake Eagle and Dr. Michael Amster. I'm speaking with Jake and Michael from their homes by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Michael and Jake, welcome.
Thank you, Justine. It's such an honor to be here. And as we were sharing before we started today, we've both been big fans of yours for many years. So we're in awe that we get to spend this next hour together.
It's so wonderful. That was Michael, and I'll try and help the listeners to distinguish between their voices. I would love for you to start with a little background of how this even started to happen and a little bit of your background, how you arrived at this method.
Hi, Justine.
Okay, this is Jake.
This is Jake. Yeah, it's great to be here. We started this about 4 years ago at a time when I had developed a course that I was teaching online. This is actually pre-pandemic. And when I was teaching that course, there were many people in it who I was asking all of them to meditate 10 minutes a day. And what was interesting is that more than half the people said, I can't do that. I don't have 10 minutes a day. And Michael was actually in that course. He and I have known each other for, I think 15 years, but he was in that course because he was curious about what I was teaching at the time. And both of us were struck by the fact that people didn't have 10 minutes a day to meditate. So I asked people to do what at the time I referred to as a micro meditation, where they would just spend maybe 30 seconds meditating, and gave them some instructions about how to do that. And then at the end of the program, I always do an evaluation. And what I saw was the people who did these very brief meditations were getting results that were equal to the people who were doing the 10 minutes of meditation. And both Michael and I were really surprised. We did not expect that that would happen. And so we decided we would explore what was going on. And each one of us then conducted a pilot project. Michael's a doctor who's a pain specialist, and he worked with a group of people who were in chronic pain. And I worked with a group of my clients. My background is as a psychotherapist. I was in private practice for almost 30 years. So we both conducted these studies, and we used evaluation, psychological evaluation tools, and looked at where people were at before and after the program, which was a 21-day program. And we saw tremendous changes. And again, we were really surprised. We were both kind of in awe of the fact that people were getting such significant benefit from such a brief practice. And Michael came up with a great idea. He said, let's call it microdosing mindfulness.
There we go. I love it. And I want to go into mindfulness because that's so extant in our culture today. There are so many ways to approach mindfulness. And as you said, Jake, in the early part of your description of how you arrived here, it was lack of time. We do a mindfulness meditation or practice. It's effortful, isn't it? Michael, would you say that?
Yeah, exactly, Justine. So Jake and I are both mindfulness teachers, and I was trained at Spirit Rock Meditation Center, which is in the Bay Area, San Francisco, which is well known in the Buddhist circles of experts in the world of mindfulness and international leaders in that field. And I was leading a Buddhist sangha in my community where I was living, and was teaching mindfulness to many people in my group, and they really struggled with finding the time, as we already talked about, but also that it takes a lot of effort, and that people also can be really harsh on themselves and very judgmental, depending on what you're teaching someone to do, even though it can be very simple. Let's say you're just paying attention to breathing in and out, but our minds are little monkey making machines, and they're constantly distracted, and we're always coming back to the breath, but it can be very frustrating. And at a certain point, I noticed it can be counterproductive for people. Like, they can just really feel defeated. And then I think they're almost even harsher on themselves before they even began the practice. So I remember when Jake and I had this conversation and we came up with this idea of microdosing mindfulness, you know, we were really curious if we could find a way to give people the benefits of mindfulness without requiring that extensive commitment of time and effort. And I actually flew out to Hawaii to Jake's home and spent time with him and his wife, Hannah. And as everyone can imagine, Hawaii is filled with a lot of extraordinary awe. And we kind of sensed that our practice was, we wanted to give people that sense of nirvana, that sense of transcendence, of being purely present, where time sort of stands still. The voices in our heads stop temporarily. We feel connected to the vastness of all life. God, spirit, whatever you want to call it. And we really kind of stumbled upon this practice. It wasn't in the extraordinary that really called our attention, but it was finding on the ordinary moments of our lives.
I think you write about, Michael, just that a little moment of cooking pancakes.
Yeah.
Can you describe that moment?
Sure. Well, I think like most of us, when we make pancakes, we're multitasking. We pour the batter, and then while the pancakes cook themselves, we're off making orange juice or sausage or making the kids their lunches for school or whatever. And I just stood there and was fully present and brought my full undivided attention to this experience of watching these pancakes go from a liquid batter to a puffy, yummy pancake. And I had this, what we call in this idea of a spectrum of awe, on the far end of the spectrum is what's called an awgasm, where our whole body gets excited and tingles and we have chills and we feel, very alive and awake and super present. And I had that moment watching these pancakes cook. And it was from that point, and I shared that with Jake and Hannah, that we constructed the awe method. And I know we'll get to talk more about that, but we used the word awe and came up with a three-step process, and we created an acronym, which is what we've been teaching people on our research studies. And it's been a really incredible journey for us to, we didn't set out to write a book. We just were really wanting to help people that were up against, the challenges of creating a mindfulness practice. And then also when the pandemic struck, we were really called to do some deeper research with applying our methodology to hundreds of patients that were struggling with anxiety and depression and loneliness, as well as doctors and nurses with their burnout and other mental health issues during the height of the pandemic.
Right, right. So let's talk a bit about the actual process. And you said that AWE actually stands for something in the practice. So Jake, can you describe a little bit of the practice?
Yeah, the first step in the AWE method is to place our attention on something that we value, appreciate, or find to be amazing. So it's placing our attention on something that has a positive quality to it. That's the first step. The second step...
I'm going to slow this down a bit. So attention, I think listeners to New Dimensions know and have heard about how where we put our attention is where our energy will go. So they're correlating. And also where the attention is, we're talking about how you're actually putting your attention on an object, on something. I mean, when you think about mindfulness, it's actually we're trying to just sort of erase our monkey mind and just stop thinking, so to speak, or at least not have it running us. So when you're talking about attention, you're actually giving attention to an actual object or something, as you say, that has value to us or beauty or has meaning. So that's very different from mindfulness, isn't it?
It is, although in a mindfulness practice, we're often instructed to pay attention, for example, to our breath, right? So we are taking our attention and placing it somewhere. The difference in the AWE method is that we are intentionally placing our attention on something, again, that we value or appreciate. Now, it could be an object, but it also could be a memory. It could be an idea. It could be a connection with another human being. There are many places that we can put our attention that will evoke something positive within us. So that's where the process begins.
So the process begins with attention, because I want you to go thoroughly through the other parts of that process. But I do want to remind our listeners that I'm here with therapist Jake Eagle, and also with someone who actually specializes in chronic pain, Dr. Michael Amster. And they are co-authors of The Power of Awe, Overcome Burnout and Anxiety, Ease Chronic Pain, Find Clarity and Purpose in Less Than 1 Minute a Day. And if you want to know more about their work, you can go to the website thepowerofawe.com, or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with therapist Jake Eagle and Dr. Michael Amster, and we're talking about the power of awe. And the first part of the method is attention. So what is the second part, Jake?
And so we took the word awe and turned it into an acronym. So the A stands for attention, and the W stands for weight. And the idea here is that once we've placed our attention on something that we value, appreciate, or find to be amazing, we want to wait. In other words, we want to stay with whatever that is, but it's for a brief amount of time. This whole process can be done in the course of one breath cycle, right? So we can inhale while we're paying attention to what it is that we value, we appreciate. And then we wait. And while we're waiting, we just give every bit of attention we have to whatever it is we placed our attention on. And that process is what allows our mind to quiet down. It's in the waiting that our mind quiets down. And then the final step is the E, which stands for exhale and expand. And when we exhale, it's actually a fairly natural thing to experience some expansion, particularly if the exhalation is a little bit longer than normal. And we can talk more about what that's doing physiologically, but that is the final step in the process. It's this exhalation. And when we experience that, whatever sensations are in our body are going to be amplified. And the sensations in our body were positive ones because we were putting our attention on something that we valued.
I was surprised when I actually tried it, and I was surprised I actually did feel something in my body when I did it. It was kind of fleeting, but for a moment I thought, wow, that really did something. And I'm reminded in your writings, you used a quote from David Elkins. He actually studied under Viktor Frankl, who some of us remember was a Holocaust survivor and was the person who wrote the seminal book, Man's Search for Meaning. And anyway, David Elkins, I love what he said about awe, because he talked about the transformative elements of awe, and that awe is like, here's the quote, awe is a lightning bolt that marks in memory those moments when the doors of perception are cleansed and we see with startling clarity what is truly important in life. It's powerful, in other words. So any comment on that?
Well, I think it's a fabulous quote. And part of what I love about it is the idea of a lightning bolt. It's something that actually happens very quickly and can be transformative. And that's really what this method is. It's very brief, it happens quickly, and yet it does cleanse our perception and it resets our nervous system.
You have mentioned the scientific studies. A person who has really gone in and studied awe a lot, a professor at UC Berkeley, Dr. Keltner, has helped you kind of fashion some studies. What are the any of the studies, and what did you find, Michael?
So I'd love to share a little bit about that. Actually, our studies were we worked our graduate students that we worked with were in Dacher's lab, and Dacher was one of the main investigators in our study as well. So we all worked together quite closely, and at the height of the pandemic, we designed a 21-day study where we were teaching the awe method remotely through a Zoom course, two different groups. One was about 300 primary care patients that were quite stressed out, dealing with depression, anxiety. A lot of them also had chronic pain at the height of the pandemic. And then we also had recruited approximately 200 doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals, most of whom were at the front lines managing COVID. And the study commenced in June of 2020. which also coincided with the other challenging times that were going on with the race riots and situations going on in the United States. So we taught the methodology, and then we did daily measures as well as pre and post measures. And I'll just share, you know, kind of the highlights of our research and what we found. Most impressive was the decrease in depression. So we found about a 35% reduction of depression, statistically significant in both cohorts, which is really incredible, quite amazing at a time when depression was actually skyrocketing and people around the country, about 50%, were registering, you know, on the depression scales from the pandemic that was really nowhere ending in sight, and a lot of other stressors socio-politically in the country.
And also at that height, there was a lot of medication being prescribed, like Xanax or Clozapine or whatever it was, that people were taking a lot of medication to alleviate depression, right?
Yeah, I mean, and both depression and anxiety, you know, there wasn't enough therapists around for everyone to get support. And so medical doctors were prescribing antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications, which unfortunately a lot of them have side effects to them. And often those side effects can be even worse than any benefit they might get from the therapy. And there's also a very large placebo response in the area around antidepressant medications and anxiety medications. So the fact that we saw such a drastic reduction in depression. In fact, when we looked at sort of the average depression scores, the people by the end of the study were no longer actually categorically considered depressed anymore. Like they didn't meet the threshold of depression in terms of an average score. So that was just really quite extraordinary to see that happen. And what really we've come to think of this is actually that this AHA method is a medical intervention. It is on that same scale of a medication for depression or going to see a psychotherapist and learning tools and analyzing your thoughts with cognitive behavioral therapy. It really has a similar level of efficacy. And what we love about this, again, is its safety profile, right? There's no side effects. We didn't have any adverse events in our studies with almost 500 people that participated in all of them.
May I ask you, Michael, how did you establish a moment of awe in, so to speak, on Zoom? I mean, that must have been difficult to arrange a moment of awe.
Michael, before you answer that, I just want to mention that this is also a beautiful compliment to people who do require medication or people who are in therapy. We're not suggesting that this is always better than other modalities. It often is a beautiful complement. And there are times when people do need to see a therapist or they do need some medication, hopefully for a limited period of time. But this can complement other modalities.
Yes, it's not the end all be all. It's not going to solve all the problems of the world or even our personal problems. But it is a tool that's very effective, that's immediately available, that does not have adverse side effects. Although I think that you do mention in your work that you need to feel safe and always a feeling of safety to really use it. I mean, if you're being threatened in some way or traumatized in some way, a tiger running after you, it's not going to kick in.
If you're being physically threatened, if your life is under threat, then it wouldn't be an option to use this method because you wouldn't even have access to it, right? But most of the time, what we see is that when people feel threatened, what's really being threatened is their sense of identity, their sense of who they are. That kind of threat can absolutely be reduced by using the AHA method. Because when we switch from feeling threatened and we go into awe, we're shifting our level of consciousness, which is a big part of what this method is all about.
Right.
As soon as we shift our level of consciousness, we're activating different brain regions.
Right. I need to go back because I kind of left our listeners hanging. I asked Michael a question and then we went off on something else. So how did you establish an awesome moment when you were doing the research?
Well, what we did was we actually taught the awe methodology that Jake shared with you a few minutes ago. We spent 1 hour over 4 weeks, 1 hour a week over 4 weeks with all the participants, and we taught them the awe method. So we had a very brief slideshow. We showed them the three steps. We explained a little bit of the background of how awe helps change our level of consciousness that we're in temporarily. And we just asked people to practice this three times a day. I mean, in terms of what we had to teach people, it really didn't take us more than 15 to 20 minutes to give them the training wheels of the awe method. And then we did explain a little bit more about different categories of awe. Like we've come up with three different types of awe that help people when they want to build a practice so they can label and get a better sense of, oh yeah, I'm having an experience of sensorial awe right now, or I'm having a sense of connected awe, interconnected awe.
Michael, I know that you gave a really wonderful example of being with your daughter, taking her to, I think, her water polo lessons. Maybe if we're taking our kids to these sorts of sports events and everything, we're very distracted. We have our cell phone with us and scrolling through our email or our messages or whatever it is. But you had a moment where you said, okay, I'm going to do something different. Can you describe how that was for you?
Well, what it really was learning the application, direct application of the awe method when I was attending my daughter's water polo games. And when she was a senior in high school is when Jake and I were exploring this method. It was actually that fall of 2019. And so for me, it was like a very special time of, she's been playing that sport since she was a young grade schooler. And so I really wanted to deeply feel and be present for her games that last season. And one of the things I learned that I experienced from practicing the awe method and really allowing an extended practice was that time, my sense of time expanded. So when we're busy and we're distracted and we're not in that state of awe or that sense of wonder, time often speeds up and goes pretty quick. And but when I started practicing, I noticed her games lasted longer, and I just felt like there was a richness that I could really appreciate. And to people that know water polo, those games go fast.
Yeah, they do. They do. I'm here with Dr. Michael Amster and therapist Jake Eagle, and we're talking about the awe method. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and